Hi everyone, welcome to the Learning Space Toolkit demo session. Thanks for coming. My name is Jung-Hoon Kim, and my co-presenters are...
Kim Duckett for North Carolina State University Libraries.
And Elliot Felix with Bright Spot Strategy.
So in this session, we'll quickly go over the project background, but we'll mostly focus on the time on a breakout session. So we'll explain later more in detail, but we'll break out into three groups and conduct some hands-on activity on the Learning Space Toolkit so you get some first-hand experience. And then afterwards, Kim will also present some ideas how you can actually contribute to sustaining the toolkit in the future. And we'll end it with a Q&A session. So to give you a background of the project, the Learning Space Toolkit, so what is it? So the Learning Space Toolkit is a publicly available web-based collection of tools and resources for planning, evaluating, and implementing technology-rich informal learning spaces. So it's an actual website as you see in the screen, and there's a little QR code if you're interested to look at it as we speak. To give you a little background on how we developed it over the past 2 years and ended last year. The project was funded by the Institute of Museum and Library Services. It was co-developed by NCSU, North Carolina State University, Bright Spot Strategy, and ACOM Strategy Plus, as well as key members of ELI, actually, who contributed as board members, giving us advice along the way. So the toolkit components, just as a recap, or as a brief intro, if you're new to the Learning Space Toolkit, consists of six different sections, the roadmap section, that kind of consists of resources and tools to get you started on planning projects. Needs assessment section that is a repository of methods and tools for assessing needs. Space types that has different tools, again, to translate needs into space. Services to think about your current service model and how that might change in the future. Technology tips. And integration section, which consists of tools and resources and methods to integrate all the different pieces together into a cohesive plan. So, to give you a little more highlights into the toolkit components, in the roadmap session, you'll see a sample project timeline, a list of stakeholder roles, for example, and some communication tools with links to real-life examples by institutions, which are kind of represented here, actually. The needs assessment section, again, consists of various different data gathering tools and tools to actually help translate those into use cases. Space types, the big piece here is the space browser, has, again, examples with space attributes and lessons learned on various different precedents out there. Services, which consists of tools to help explore the service model. Again, comparing your current to your future aspirations. Technology tips, and again, integration section that has tools to help help tie together the various different pieces, translating into a cohesive plan that talks about the people, the staff, the dollars, and how to actually put it together into one piece. So just to talk a little bit about the adaptability and how we envision that you might be actually tapping into this resource. Again, the tool consists of six different sections, and this is a general flow of how we see that the tools might be used. So you might be walking through the entire course in a sequential way, but also you might be able to use the different pieces of the toolkit separately. And that's perfectly fine with us, and that we have that in mind from the beginning. So now I will hand it off to Elliot for the breakout sessions.
Great. Well, when we thought, when we originally proposed this session, we thought it might be a great way to complement the webinar, and which kind of was more informational and just introduced the toolkit, with a chance for people to actually roll up their sleeves and kick the tires and some other cliches about using things. And so that's really what we have in mind over the next 20 minutes or so. So while you have the people who spent 2 years making this thing to kind of guide you and give you a boost as you get rolling and try some things out and ask some questions, we thought that might be a great way to get rolling. So to do that, we want to first sort of get the pulse of the room about what you're interested in so that we can form some good breakout groups. So a quick poll. This is using Poll Everywhere. All you're going to have to do is either send a text to 37607 or a tweet to @poll or go to that website, pollev.com, and you're going to put in one of those 6-digit codes to vote for what you think you're most interested in. So we have 5 different questions here. How can I best set up a project for success? How can I understand the needs of my users? Where can I find examples of innovative learning spaces? How can I design support services? And how can I connect the dots or integrate between space services and technology? So we'll take a couple minutes here for you to vote. Again, the goal here is to figure out what you all are interested in so that we can use that to structure these breakout activities and discussions. So we've got 2 votes so far. Okay, now we've got 6. Things are cooking. Finding examples, jumping out to an early lead. Not surprisingly. Finding examples, still with a commanding lead. I feel like a bit like a race announcer or something. Anybody still voting? Okay, so we have a 3-way tie for 3rd. We need someone to break the tie. Okay, there we go. Last call. Okay, so we're going to focus on finding innovative examples of spaces, designing support. a late entry. Okay, now people are gaming the systems. We may have to close. Yeah, you can only vote once. It's pretty smart. Okay, so I'm gonna. No, I can't cap it. We need one more vote. Okay, a show of hands in this room. Projects, setting up a project or designing support services. So setting up a project. Hands up. 8 hands in the room. Okay, designing support services. Oh, more than 8. Okay, designing support services. Okay, so we're going to do services, integration, and innovative spaces. And the way this will work, for those who are online, you can download a set of scenarios. I think they're in the chat window already. It's with the talk. So there's a set of scenarios. One deals with space, so you can go to that scenario, and it has some instructions to follow. And for those of you who are here in person, what we'll do is I'll give you instructions, and then you'll move up and go to your respective location. So we'll put the integration section. So if you answered connect the dots, you'll be over here. If you're interested in innovative spaces, you'll be on this side. There are probably going to be the most people in that, so we may split you into two groups. And if you're interested in planning, in designing support services, we'll go in the back corner. So front here, integration, back, designing support services, and innovative spaces on this side. Before you get up, what we're going to do is distribute a kind of a hypothetical scenario for you to think about, and some printouts or some links to the online version, if that's your preference. And then we'll have about 20 minutes for you all to kind of dig into the scenario. One of us will join each group, and then we'll kind of pause for 5 minutes to get some reflections from each group. So without further ado, let's go to our respective locations, and one of us will be there to lead the conversation. Each group is going to want a spokesperson or some folks that are willing to volunteer some reflections. And we're not going to be asking you to recap the work so much as just to offer some reactions to the tools you were using in the process. Okay, so I think I'm gonna play Phil Donahue and walk around and get some reactions from various people. How about this integration group? What were your thoughts on using the integration blueprint? And I'm gonna ask you to use the mic here.
So,
and again, you don't need to summarize so much as reflect.
So it was really interesting trying to talk about these different spaces, and we kind of came across these different areas where you might have like a cleaner space, such as like a video editing suite or video and audio production suite that might be juxtaposed with this a makerspace type area where you have like heavy machinery and tooling and stuff. So we were talking about how we might separate these spaces, how we might separate them out, and so we can still fulfill all the requirements of each space. We also talked about making sure it's flexible, and we also kind of touched on whether we should allow classes to actually be held in this space, and who might actually support this space. So we were coming across like maybe making sure we involve an instructional technologist to connect these tools and whatnot to assignments, to specific assignments for specific classes.
Great, thanks a lot. How about this group, the services group?
I mean, the process seems a little ethereal if you're not familiar with the tools, right? But as you start to talk about them a little bit more and explore them, they certainly come forward with what you're sort of trying to map out in the space, right? So you do start to think at a different level of detail about how people are engaging with the space and what are all of the touch points, and makes you think about, how they got there, what they passed on their way, some of the details of, to get you thinking about, well, maybe this isn't best place in this building on the other side of campus because they're most likely taking place in a dorm. So, I mean, you do get to think through some of the process steps in a detailed way, and it certainly structures for that.
Okay. Do you want to?
We didn't actually do the map per se, but I was talking with Rich, and they've done this at Stanford, so it was very helpful to me. I'm from Union College, and we're working with our library to build a learning commons right now. And we have our charter statement, but we haven't quite gotten much further. So this, I think, would be a great activity to go through with our staff. And we've always thought we would lead the design looking at services, so this is just very helpful for us.
That's great. Yeah. You seem to be getting volunteered.
I guess we're just noting that useful, informative, but limited examples. So,
okay.
And yet I think there are lots and lots of examples. So my question would be, how can you reach out? I've already sent you an email with one. But,
okay.
Guess
what the next five minutes of our session are about.
Is that right? Yeah,
yeah.
Because all of us are probably
we're doing you.
This.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the more we can build it out, the better. And Kim's going to touch on that.
Yeah, particularly like the things that were learned, in the process of how students actually use the spaces and how much they probably change over time and even time during the semester. So
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else want to pass this around? Other reflections on the toolkit?
I mean, we completely agree with that. One thing we also talked about was to help flesh out that material is to have maybe some sort of template so that when schools want to submit their examples that there's sort of a at least a beginning uniformity to the information they provide so that as people look through the examples, they can expect a certain amount of information across those examples to help them compare and then obviously get deeper into deeper questions with the context.
That's a great point. At present, we have a Google form, but I think as we evolve the toolkit, perhaps there'll be a web form where it, you know, with, you know, perhaps just moderated but almost instant publishing.
Do you want to give your question or do you want me to summarize?
One of the questions that I had that was interesting as we discussed it, Craig knew the space and gave some comments about it. Over time, it'd be interesting to have a mechanism for users of the space and others who know it to layer on more nuances about the space, contribute it, and it might also be helpful to have a square foot per seat metric woven into it as well.
So like a kind of a sidebar. It looks like one other comment here. And
if
sure.
If I could just tack on that, because I was looking at your heuristics here, your guiding principles, and you know, look at what other people did. Okay, great. Well, I was looking for like, collaborative space should be approximately 200 square feet with movable. I was looking more for concrete design guidelines. Mm-hmm. And again, that's not what I was seeing.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point. I think the approach we took was sort of acknowledging that there's a lot of differences from campus to campus, and we tried to kind of strike the right balance between sort of providing some concrete examples and some overall guiding principles, but the kind of the middle part is maybe you know is maybe left to you. But I think it's a good point, and perhaps we can add more detail over time.
Well, I feel because you did cite some of the examples, some yeah. architects. Well, they certainly have some sort of rules of thumb that they are working from.
Mm-hmm.
That would be nice to see.
Rich mentioned the rating system. I'll be right over there with the mic, or Shirley just talked, so and Rich wants to talk about it, so here we go. And then I think we have to get to Kim after this. We're going to have a few more minutes at the very end for wrap-up Q&A.
Well, there's a group which Elliot is also involved in, and ELI is involved in, and Shirley is involved in, that's still working on a learning spaces rating system that would address that aspect. That would assert some best practices with specific parameters, and it's modeled on the. It's basically analogous to the LEED system for rating and you know sustainability, but it's not about sustainability. It's about enabling learning in spaces with best practices. So you'll hear about that more soon, I hope, with the beta version of this. Of this, which I think is a tool that will nicely complement the Learning Spaces toolkit when we get it ready.
So great points about potential ways to sustain and improve this, and Kim is gonna add on to that.
Okay, I'm just gonna add a couple of comments. So the grant that we were working off of is just wrapped up. So we'll be talking, as the core team that's been working on the toolkit, be talking with our external advisory board members to think about the future of the toolkit and what will be happening next. We have Joan Lippincott, who's here with us right now, who's one on that board, and Malcolm Brown is as well. But just a couple of ideas for how you can help us enrich that content. All the people here on the big group over on the right, my right, they were all working off a tool that we thought would be a very popular aspect of the toolkit called the Space Browser, which has ways for you to browse and see examples, sort of virtual site visits for different space types and neighborhoods. The space types are things like group study rooms, open work areas, collaborative booths, presentation practice, visualization, connective spaces, gaming studios, digital media production, and prototyping spaces. Neighborhoods are clusters of space types. So a neighborhood is made up of several different space types. For example, learning commons could be differently configured depending on your institution, made up of open work areas, group study rooms, digital media could be a combination, research commons, entrance areas, project neighborhoods, and spaces near classrooms. So if you have spaces that you think we should know about and should be highlighted here, please share them with us. I'm going to give you an email address you can send your information to, and we'll start a dialogue with you and send you the form, the Google form that Elliot mentioned. Also, each section of the toolkit has resources sections. So if you know of good resources that you think would be helpful for others, websites, guides, if anybody's done anything with assessment, have instruments you want to share, those are things we'd be happy to link to from the toolkit as well. And also, if you take these tools and you use them, we'd love to hear your experiences using them. This right here, I'm highlighting the service plot tool, which is something that no group touched on today, which is a really cool, interesting tool that's part of the toolkit. So please do help us keep it alive, keep it growing, and we really appreciate the different feedback that you've given us today about how you could see it become more nuanced in the future and what kinds of information you'd like to see there. There's the email address to get in touch with us, and there's the Twitter hashtag, or not hashtag, Twitter account that you can tweet with us at. And that's what we have in terms of how to help us sustain right now, but we'd love your feedback. And if you have any last-minute questions before we have to wrap up, we'd love to take them now, including people online.
Yeah, maybe we start with people online.
Some good questions came up during the sharing. Any other questions or thoughts?
If we're seeing something in the toolkit that's of interest to us, but we'd like to dive in a little deeper, is there a way to connect back to that user, that experience, to find out more about it? Or through you, or do we just reach out to them via what we've seen in the list of contact?
In the space browser?
Yes,
all the spaces that are highlighted have a contact, and you should feel free to contact them.
Any other questions, comments? Joan?
Well, as someone who's been involved with this project, I would just love to know how many of you will go back to your campuses and either explore this further or know that you will use it to some extent, just hoping that it's useful to
you. That was kind of the idea. Well, thank you all very much for your time and your insights, and good luck using the toolkit. And we look forward to your contributions, and we really appreciate your feedback. And if you have further questions, we're happy to follow up with you on an individual basis, because I think we're out of time. But thanks so much.
Thanks.